And Jonathan's going to come and bring our Bible reading to us.
Okay. So the reading is from Mark chapter 4, which is pretty much wall-to-wall parables. And I'm reading from verse 26. Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plant grow and bear fruit. First, the tender stalk appears, then the ear, and finally the ear full of corn. When the corn is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle, because harvest time has come." "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" asked Jesus. "What parable shall we use to explain it? It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade." Jesus preached his message to the people using many other parables like this. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables, but when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them.
Thanks, Jonathan. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us, and we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes and ears to hear the truths that you want to reveal to us. Help us to be ready not only to hear them, but to act on them. Challenge us and inspire us and encourage us today. Draw us closer to you and speak to us clearly through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you will know the story of the English family who went on holiday to Scotland. But a good story is worth telling twice, so I'm going to remind you what happened, even if you know it. One day, the young boy in the family decided to go swimming in a nearby loch. And while he was swimming, he suddenly got severe cramp. The pain was so bad that he couldn't swim any longer, and he was finding it increasingly difficult to keep his head above water. Fortunately, a local youngster was passing, and he heard all this splashing around in the water and looked over and saw this boy that by then was beginning to drown. And he jumped into the loch and rescued him, saving his life. Obviously, the boy's family were extremely grateful. They couldn't stop thanking this young Scottish lad, and he stayed with them for a while, chatting to them. During their conversation, the English gentleman asked the lad, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" The boy shrugged and said, "My family don't have much money. I don't think they can really afford an education for me, so I guess I'll be a farmer, like my dad is." But the Englishman persisted, "What do you really want to be when you grow up?" And eventually the lad confessed his dream was to be a doctor, but he knew his family would never afford that kind of education for him. Now the Englishman answered by saying, "Now don't worry." He said, "I'm so grateful to you that you've saved my boy's life. If that's what you want to do, that's what you'll do. I'm going to pay for your education." And that's exactly what he did. Now, years later, Winston Churchill was in Africa, and he became seriously ill with pneumonia. Everyone with him was extremely worried, and Churchill said, "Send for my old friend, Alexander Fleming." Fleming arrived, bringing with him some penicillin, which he gave to Churchill and saved his life for a second time, because apparently it was Churchill who almost drowned in the Scottish loch and Fleming who jumped in to save his life. Who would have thought that one simple action could have made such a difference to the lives of so many people? The impact of the young Fleming's actions were far greater than he or anyone else could have imagined. Makes you wonder what would have happened if he hadn't been walking past the lock, or if he'd chosen to walk on by and not look to see what was making such a noise. Would penicillin have never been discovered? I think we're all grateful for the consequences that emerged. And certainly I am after last week. There is something of that sense of seemingly small events leading to much greater things that emerges through our Bible readings this morning that John read for us. We've reached the fourth chapter of Mark. And today I wanted us to focus on these two parables. The parable of the seed that grew in secret and the parable of the mustard seed. Now, Jesus often used parables to teach people. Stories are a very effective way of helping us to learn, and they provide a great tool for us to be able to remember things. But the parables of Jesus are more than just stories. They are stories with intent, through which we are enabled to see a truth. So as we're looking at the growing seed and the mustard seed today, the question we need to consider as we read these parables is, what truth does Jesus want us to understand through them? What truth does he want to reveal to us? Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recall a lot of the parables that Jesus told, but Mark is the only one to tell the story of the growing seed. And he appears to deliberately place that story with the parable of the mustard seed, so that the two parables can add to one another. So let's take a moment to consider what the story represents. Jesus began by saying, "The kingdom of God is like this." The kingdom of God is like this. Now, the kingdom of God, also referred to as the kingdom of heaven, represents the rule and the reign of the living God in heaven and on earth. It is a present reality, although we are still living in the time when the kingdom has come, but hasn't yet come in full. And so, although God is Lord of all, still we're living in times of suffering and evil, where bad things continue to happen in our world and in our lives too. For the Jewish people, they lived with a strong expectation that the kingdom of God was going to come one day, and at that time, all of the promises they'd received through the prophets in the Old Testament would finally come true. God would rescue his people, and they'd no longer be oppressed by the Romans or indeed by any other nation. Now, both these parables are described as parables of the present kingdom. In other words, through these parables, Jesus is saying, the waiting is over. The promises that began in the Old Testament are beginning to be filled right now through him. The kingdom of heaven was no longer a hope or a dream for the future. God's new rule and reign was taking place right here, right now. And so both of these parables were not told by Jesus to provide guidance as to how we should act, but as a revelation of what the kingdom of God is like. So how is the kingdom of God like a seed that grows silently in the ground, or like a mustard seed transformed into a plant? What other truths did Jesus want us to grasp? Let's think first of the seed that's planted by the farmer. When it was planted first, it looked like nothing had happened. Time passed, and without the farmer knowing how, the seed began to grow. Eventually, the time came for the corn to be harvested. You see, although the Jewish people were expecting God's kingdom to come, they also had a very clear idea of what it would look like. God will come in power, they thought. He'll overthrow the nations that are oppressing us. There'll be a big battle. God will win. We'll be set free. It's all going to be very dramatic and very visible to everyone. So when Jesus began to proclaim, the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is in our midst, the Jewish people looked around and said, where? This was not how they imagined things would be. Nothing had changed. In fact, as Jesus went about his teaching and performing miracles, there seemed to be a growing opposition rising up against him, trying to stop what he was doing. Where was their mighty warrior who'd come to overthrow the Romans? And so Jesus told these parables to address some of these issues and questions. In effect, he was saying, the kingdom of God is here, but it's a lot more complex than you ever imagined it would be. But just as the farmer had no idea how the seed was growing after he'd planted it, you have no idea how God is at work right now, bringing his kingdom into being in full. It might not look like anything is happening, but God is at work. Similarly, as he went on to speak of the mustard seed, Jesus wasn't saying the kingdom of God was like the seed itself. The seed seemed small and insignificant, and although it wasn't the tiniest seed, it was often used in Jesus' time as a symbol to represent something very small. The point that Jesus was making was that a thing that was so small could grow to a size where it protected birds in its shade. Now, that was also a significant image for the Jewish people. A tree in whose shade the birds shelter is an Old Testament image of a powerful kingdom providing shelter for other nations. And in using that term, Jesus was pointing to the fact that the kingdom of God would include, welcome, and shelter the Gentiles. Now, that wasn't how the Jewish people imagined things would be either. For those who were listening, especially the disciples, Jesus wanted them to know more than ever that God was at work and his kingdom was here. It might not look like it now. It certainly wouldn't look like it in a couple of years' time when they were about to watch Jesus be arrested and nailed to a cross. But God was at work, and his kingdom was coming in ways greater than they or we can ever imagine. Now, those parables were very relevant to the disciples, but they're really relevant to us today as well. Have you never had anyone say to you sometimes, how can you believe in God when you see all that's going on in the world today? Isn't that a question people ask? And aren't there times for us too, if we're honest, that maybe we begin to have similar thoughts? Where is God? Is kingdom really coming because this has happened in my life? Perhaps this morning, this parable is challenging us to take a moment to consider whether we, like the Jewish people, sometimes have expectations of God or the way his kingdom should come that need to be challenged. As we reflect on these parables today, Jesus says to us, be encouraged. God is at work. And because we know God is at work, there are four things we can do. Firstly, we can be patient. Now, that's easier said than done, I know. But let's think back to the seed that was growing in secret again. Jesus says that having scattered the seed, the farmer sleeps at night and is up and about during the day. And all the while, the seed is growing. The word that was used where we read all the while is the word that we get the word automatically from. Something was happening automatically, which the father knew nothing about, that he couldn't control, that enabled the seed to grow. And when Jesus described the farmer as rising and sleeping, he wasn't saying the farmer wasn't doing anything else, that he was idle or lazy. He was making the point to mark the passing of time. During that time, the farmer had to be patient. Even though it seemed at first like nothing was happening, the farmer knew one day the harvest would be there, and he needed to be ready. Now, I'm sure there are times for all of us when we're praying about something, longing to see God's kingdom come in some area of our life, and yet it seems like nothing is happening. Perhaps we're praying for a loved one that they might know what it means to be part of God's kingdom too. Let me encourage you this morning, don't give up. Be patient and keep praying, because God is at work in ways where we have no idea. And when the time is right, God's harvest will come. Secondly, because God is at work, we can have confidence. When the disciples heard the parable of the mustard seed, this should have been a huge encouragement to them. As they were travelling around with Jesus, being involved in his ministry, it could be very tempting for them to contrast the smallness of their enterprise with the size and the power of Rome. What could they do in comparison? What difference could they make? They were just a small group of guys trying their best to do what their teacher had told them to do. Yes, they were seeing miracles taking place, but there was still a lot of opposition to Jesus' ministry. Could they really make a difference? Jesus wanted them to know that although his ministry was not being welcomed nor being recognised, yet the potential for the future of the kingdom of God was greater than they would ever expect or imagine. In addition, in the parable of the seed, the farmer was confident that there would be a harvest just because the seed had been sown. And so the disciples should be confident that the kingdom of God would come in full, despite its apparent failure, despite its apparent rejection, because God would complete the work that he'd begun. Just as the disciples could become discouraged, there are times, I'm sure, when all of us can feel the same. What difference can we make to extend God's kingdom, to see his values lived out on earth? We're just a bunch of ordinary people. And yet, as we heard earlier through that story of Winston Churchill, one small act can have an impact way beyond our expectations. And like the disciples, we can and we should have confidence that God is at work in ways that we do not know, and that everything he's promised will be fulfilled. It's from that confidence that we are called to recognise the signs of the harvest and to play our part in gathering it in, as well as being willing to be involved in the sowing, confident that God will be faithful to his word and will be at work in ways that we may never see the results of our actions. Thirdly, because God is at work, we can receive comfort at times when we're feeling low or weary, maybe even tempted to give up. Jesus encourages us not to judge only by what is observable on the surface. After all, you wouldn't sow some seeds and then look at that patch of ground immediately afterwards and judge by the harvest by what you can see at that moment. There's a hidden energy at work underneath the ground, and the results are all in God's hands. Although we have a part to play in the harvest, the growth comes from God. So take comfort in the truth that you're not responsible for the results. You just need to be faithful to play the part that God has called you to do. And then let him take care of the rest. And finally, because God is at work, we can hold on in hope. For the disciples, they could not see the power that they'd hoped for. And yet at hidden levels, things were certainly moving forward. Jesus made it clear the farmer didn't know how the seed grew. He just knew the seed would grow. We don't always know how God is going to bring things about. In fact, quite often, when we think we've got it worked out, God does something in a way that we'd never thought of. Imagine for a minute how the disciples must have felt at that moment when they watched Jesus arrested and led away. And then, a day later, watched him die on the cross. How could God's promises be coming true when the one they thought would save them was being killed himself? Yet God was at work in ways they couldn't understand. So this morning, I want you to be encouraged that God is at work. Even though at times it may not seem like it, his kingdom is here, and one day it will come in all its fullness. So keep praying for the people you're praying for and for the transformation you long for. And trust God for the results. Be patient and hold on in hope, because God is faithful to his word and his promises will be fulfilled. Let's take a moment to reflect on God's word, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you are at work today. You're at work in our world. You're at work in our lives. You're at work through our lives. And Lord, we admit sometimes we look around and we struggle to see what you're doing and how your kingdom is coming. Today, we once again put our hope and our trust in you. Lord, help us to be patient and to persevere in praying for transformation and for your spirit to be at work in the lives of those that we know. Comfort and reassure us, Lord. Keep us strong and focused on you, and give us the strength to hold on in hope when we're feeling weary, when we're feeling like we're struggling to carry on. Lord, our hope is in you and in you alone. Encourage us today and reveal to us the part that you want us to play, and help us to trust you with the results. In Jesus' name, amen.